This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live out at Globe Life Field in Arlington for Texas Rangers opening day. The people have been filing in for about an hour. We've been taking pictures, shaking hands, giving hugs, and these guys have been doing autographs. And now it's time for the C Block starring Cordy Majors.
All right, so I am communicating with Jared Sandler. There may be a possibility we'll have a Jared sighting at some point today. I wanted to go through this because there are a lot of people, a lot of Tolos, a lot of Rangers fans that are stopping by to say hi to Derek.
Yeah.
Derek, do you get that kind of love all the time from Rangers fans, or is this kind of a special for you to kind of see this also being, you know, with us and goofing off like we do?
Well, most definitely here at the ballpark, I will. I would say yeah. But then also when I'm out and about, like in a Mavs game or Stars game or just out in public, if somebody sees me, they'll say hi. You know, they're all very respectful, very nice. And I mean, I'm always going to talk to them too, because at the end of the day, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in or I was in, you know. So it's, I got to give my respects back to them for, you know, being the great fans that they are. And it is cool. It's fun.
I've always appreciated, like, how you treat our fans, the Tolos that come up to the station or whatever to see you and everything. I've always thought that's really cool. Even the way you treat us has always been really kind and genuine. Very different from Mike, who walks in and goes, I am the Mike Bassick.
No, see, I think Mike is genuine because he is the way he is. And
thank you.
If you don't like it, deal with
it. Yeah, yeah. And then Michael, he's like, yeah, I might wave at you. I might wave. No, but Mike is over here hanging out, signing autographs too, just like Derek is as people are walking by. I was curious for you two big leaguers, what the difference is for the day of opening day versus any other day? Because Hicks was talking about it earlier. He's like, we got to remember, the energy is kind of the same for 162. But yeah. I can't, if something special happens, I can't treat it like it's the World Series.
So I mean, always, you can.
Well, I always wonder with you guys, like, how does your day differ? Do you got to be here earlier? You know, and all those things. Kind of paint that picture for us a little bit.
Opening day, you definitely got to be here earlier. The gates open earlier. The traffic's a little bit busier, so you got to definitely make sure that you get out here earlier. You know, start your routine earlier also because of the pregame ceremonies, you know, the announcing the roster, all that stuff. So everything is definitely earlier when it comes to that. But mindset-wise, I'm still the same.
I would say opening day, I was only on one opening day team in New York with the Mets, and it was a day game, and it was freezing cold. But you try to get there a little bit earlier because of how chaotic it will be around the stadium more than a normal game. But I don't think people understand. I think it's a good question for Saturday. I assume the game's at 7 o'clock here. It might be a day game, but let's just say it's a 7 p.m. game. Guys are going to get to the park somewhere between 11:30 is probably early, but you might see a guy that wants to get in a workout or a little bit extra, like get here before noon. But most guys will start moseying into the clubhouse around 1 to at latest 2 p.m.,
okay.
Would you say? Like, that's – so I don't think people understand. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, like an NBA player, like you show up about 5 o'clock for a 7 o'clock tip. You're like, no. We're showing up here around – we're starting to – see guys get into the clubhouse around 1 p.m. for a 7 o'clock game.
Wow.
It just seems like, Kevin, like for this day specifically, there's more pageantry. You know, there's a lot more entertainment for our side.
I mean, a former president is here. So
yeah, exactly.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, like you have a former president here. The way that you know, Chuck Morgan's going to roll everything out. Are you looking for snipers?
I am.
Right, the way Chuck Morgan will roll out the entertainment process for you, it seems like there's more entertainment from the get all the way through, but you guys are just like, no, I'm playing baseball today, just like always. And did y'all ever like say, how was the autograph sessions before games because was it Bonds that would take some balls out there and roll them up? I can't remember how that was. I saw videos, I think.
So I would always – my goal was, you know, I'm out in the outfield. That's one thing you can kind of hear – well, they probably can't hear it, but the crowd's going nuts to some of the guys because they're throwing balls up into the stands.
Okay.
Days like this, opening day, this is the time you really want to throw a lot of the baseballs out there and have some fun with the fans. A lot of other times, like what fans don't understand is when you go on a long road trip, we can't throw as many balls out because they use them the entire time through the week. Now, autograph-wise, you know, it's a little bit different here because the old ballpark, you can actually interact up on the fence.
Yeah.
I can't really tell here because you got the suites in the way, and it's kind of hard to interact as well. But autograph-wise, you go, you get one of the security guards to stay there because you only have a certain amount of time on opening day compared to the regular season. So you sign for a little bit, and then you got to go.
Yeah, opening day is different because, like you said, you're going to have the announcing of the Philadelphia Phillies team at, let's just say, 2:40, I'm going to guess. And then at, like, 2:50 is the Texas Rangers. Then the national anthem will happen at, let's just say, 2:58, you know. And then the first pitch will be scheduled at 3:07 or something like
that.
So it's a lot different, and you know in the clubhouse they're telling you, hey, guys, you have to be out here, and we're obviously everybody's going to be on the line. When I was with the Washington Nationals, every player had to be out for the national anthem because Washington, D.C., Nationals, it was different with other teams. You didn't have to be out there on the line at, let's just say, sometimes they play the national anthem at 2:50 for a 3:05 game or something.
It's usually around 2:50. If a 3:05 game, it's 2:57.
Yeah. And so – I look at it when I was signing autographs, I would sign 10 minutes before the game, but I wouldn't do it 10 minutes before the game started. I would usually, at, let's say, a 7 o'clock game, I would sign autographs from 6:40 to 6:50, and I'd see the clock and sign for 10 minutes. Then after that 10 minutes, I'd be done. Some people would be upset, even though you signed, like, in that 10 minutes, you signed, let's say, 50 autographs. There would still be people upset with you that you didn't get to them. And you hear every once in a while.
Oh, you get to hear it.
They would yell at you for not, like, you're really this or that for not signing. Like, I literally just signed for 10 minutes. Like,
okay.
That's the thing. It really did. It would suck because, you know, you're signing for a long time. Like, I could have been out there for 30 minutes signing, and then all of a sudden this one person comes down, and they will try to make you feel guilty because it's, you know, maybe they have a kid, and you want to do it, but at the same time, I also have to get back into the locker room and do my stuff, too. That's where it becomes hard. And for the most part, what the guys usually do, and I'm guilty of it, too, is I make the security guard be the bad guy. Like, sorry, you have to be the bad guy. Cut this thing off.
Oh, yeah, that makes some sense. That's a really good
idea. Because it's very hard. Like, it's hard for me to let people down like that. But at the same time, I have to do my job, too. That's why I'm here. I got to go watch film. I got to get ready for the game, all that stuff. So,
what's the best trick to get your attention when you're out on the field? If y'all are out, if you're out on the field,
I love you in Dumb and Dumber too.
Is that
that would work? I would turn around to that. I mean, you say my name, I'm gonna look. I do a pretty good job of looking. I also, you know, I like hearing the trolls too. That, you know, they got to come out and talk some smack, tell you how bad you stink, you know, all that stuff. Which it's funny, it's entertaining. Like, and if you're creative, I'm going to reward you with the ball. Like, man, that was good. You deserve this.
That's like when we talked with all the time about certain guys. And actually, Kevin, here comes the food parade.
Mike's like, I don't care what you were about
He's
to
sweating.
Say.
We got the great, we got
you
the
know
great
how hard
Ken,
he was working.
Oh, my gosh.
We got the great Ken Hill right now.
We got Ken Hill over here.
Oh, man.
Yeah. You know what?
Send a rib
Brandon,
over here.
Would you mind putting a headset on real quick? We'll give you get you just
we
for
got
a second.
About 1 minute.
I know you're very busy, and we got Chris Young coming up in just 1 minute.
You're
Brandon
sweating.
Hurtado joining us right now on the KNC Mashpiece. You just brought the beef rib. You
Holy
brought the
cow.
Tacos over. Dude.
It smells horrible.
How great is it to be
just
in
kidding.
This stadium doing what you guys are doing this year?
It's great, man. I love it out here. We, you know, we were here for the exhibition games, and it was pretty busy, but today is just insane.
Yeah, you're working hard. I went down there, and there's a line of, I'm going to guess, 50 to 80 people right now in line at Hurtado's trying to get the Tex-Mex barbecue.
Kind of feels like you should probably be back there working then, huh?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, maybe.
I'm just kidding, dude. I'm just kidding.
Gosh. Man, I think it's a really cool story. Local kid who puts the local business in the roots here in Arlington, and now here he is in the stadium, and they invited him to be part of it, man. It's a really awesome opportunity. And thank you for bringing by some amazing food for us today, dog.
Absolutely, yeah. We wouldn't be here without the Texas Rangers organization and the Arlington community supporting us like they have. So we're really appreciative.
And where's your location? Where's the main location? I know there's...
Yeah, so we have two locations. The original is downtown Arlington, 205 East Front Street. It's about a mile from Globe Life. And then we have a second location in the south side of Fort Worth off of Rosedale.
All right, Brandon, thanks a lot, man. We got Chris Young.
That's the only reason we're wrapping up, to talk to the GM. So that's your
importance
level.
Hey, we just catered for him, so he had to have our food today. So
I can't wait to try your meat.
That's why I'm sweating.
We'll scoreboard him with that. We've got Hurtado's out here. We've got GM Chris Young coming up next. What a time to be alive and hopefully be listening right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We are live out at Globe Life Field in Arlington for Texas Rangers opening day. And right now on the line is Texas Rangers GM Chris Young. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. Happy opening day.
Now, yes. You got to forgive us, Chris. We're eating some Hurtado right now, and It's really tasty right now.
We catered Hurtado up for our front office group, so I'm watching everybody in our upstairs. They're eating Hurtado well. So we're got the same opening day taste here. I like it.
Is that the only reason you're not at the table with us, because you already had Hurtados, or are you busy doing stuff today?
No, they're saving me a plate out there, but I'd rather talk to you guys. So thanks for having me.
Man, that's so nice.
I love our GM.
Yeah, absolutely. I was hoping you could kind of give us some insight about the finalization, especially of the bullpen. I know finalizing the roster any year is going to be tricky, but can you walk us through how the bullpen came together, what with the injuries and everything?
Yeah, you know, the injuries obviously played into it. You know, with Glenn Otto, Spencer Howard, Josh Spores not being available to start the season, Jayco DeRizzi as well. So, you know, ultimately we had to kind of balance really the needs of the starting pitchers and where they are in terms of their pitch count, how they're built up. You know, Reagans and Dunning had tremendous spring trainings. And I think having them both built up to 5+ innings to support our starters early in the season as they get through the first couple times of the rotation. But, you know, it was a tough choice. You know, Joe Barlow, John King, guys with options, they pitched very well, easily could have been on the team, but ultimately we went with the group we have. But we're going to need all of them throughout the season, and hopeful that these guys who are hurt will get right soon. And nonetheless, we get off to a good start here with the group we have.
Can you give us any insight into what y'all know or are thinking about Odorizzi? Because it seems, I don't know, mysterious might be too dramatic of a word, but what is the status update about him?
Yeah, you know, we're still trying to fully diagnose. I mean, it's just been some general arm fatigue, and every time he kind of steps on it, it goes forward for a day and then back for a few days. So, and shoulders are tricky. It's, you know, injuries and the medical aspect of this game is, you know, it's more of an art than a science, frankly. And I, having been through it, I chased shoulder injuries for about 3 years before I finally got the right diagnosis. I know he's certainly going through it right now. But we're trying to get him the right answers, and hopefully in the next couple of days, now that we're home in Arlington, he can see the right specialist, and we'll have an answer soon.
Now, Chris, we had a chance to catch up with you because Mike grabbed you in the clubhouse at spring training, and the thing that I noticed, man, is, like, you can see your excitement for this team, this excitement for this club. Even Ray Davis, when we got a chance to talk with him off record, but if this, I'll throw this on record anyway. He was like,
what?
Competitiveness just bleeds out of his pores. And that's you seem competitive, and I'm kind of curious, whenever you're putting this club together, does competitiveness,
you got it.
Yeah, is that one of those things that you're like, I need that in a player, and we're going to get that out of a player?
Well, guys, it's one of our core values. I mean, we have three things that we're about as Texas Rangers. It's be a good teammate. It's dominate the fundamentals, and it's compete with passion. This game is unbelievably tough. Mike, Derek, you guys have lived it. You know how hard it is. You know how cutthroat it is. To be good at this game, you have to have a competitiveness to you. And you got to love it as well. It's hard. You know, you fail more than you succeed in this game. You got to love it. It's hard being the worst player on the field and then having to go back out there and have the confidence that you won't be the worst player the next day. So you got to love it to be able to do that. You got to be competitive. And it's a really, really main attribute that we look for in everybody, whether it's a coach, a player, a training staff member, a performance department member, or a front office member. And really proud of the group we have and how we embody those values.
And by passion, that passion runs the other way, too, when things are going bad, right? Will you get mad on some people?
Well, I think that's part of it, is that you can't be satisfied. It's part of the compete, right, is that if you're fine when things aren't going well, then something's probably wrong with you. So you got to have that passion, that competitiveness to motivate you when things are going tough. And it doesn't mean you get angry necessarily, or you lose your temper or become emotional, but it drives you. It drives you to work harder. And certainly that's how I felt the last 2 years. It's how the entire front office has felt. I know it's how ownership has felt. And most importantly, it's how our fans have felt. Nobody wants to go through the last six seasons of what we've done in terms of our record. And, we're hopeful to change that this year. Our expectation is that changes this year. And it's because our fans deserve that.
So, Chris, I know that obviously you've sat in the dugout for a lot of opening days. You've pitched in opening days. And now you're the general manager on an opening day. Can you talk about the different maybe emotions that you feel as a front office guy rather than a guy in the dugout?
Mike, it's interesting. I feel a little different this year than I did the last two. And certainly different as a player. I mean, as a player, I never pitched opening day. I never got an opening day start. So you kind of get to take it in and enjoy it. The last 2 years as a general manager, I think it was more hoping. It was more hoping that we would get off to a good start, hoping that we had the right group, hoping that things would kind of go our way. This year, I have a calmness. I believe in the group we have. I believe in the leadership we have in the dugout with Boach and Mike Maddox and Will Venable and Donnie Ecker and Tim Hires and everybody else on that staff. And I believe in the group of players we have. And so it's a long season. Today's a special day. It's fun to open at home in front of a sold-out house. I'm in my office right now looking out at all the fans tailgating. I have not seen it like this here the last few years, and really, really excited, but I'm calm. I know awesome. That we're playing the long game here, and I expect to win, and I think that we've got great things ahead regardless of the outcome today.
Well, I'm loud. sorry. That got me really bad there. It's so loud, it caught me off guard.
He's still working.
So, CY, I just wanted to put out there of how great people – I want them to see how much you really put into this to show how passionate you are. Is you went out to get the guys to help us to be successful after what we've had to go through. You went and spent money. The previous year you got Seager and Simeon, then you go out and get pitching. That was one of the needs that everybody requested. You continue to keep doing that. The expectations are high. You can see it out here. How much better do you feel now going into this season versus last season?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Yeah, Derek, I mean, I feel a lot better. We knew the last several years we've had holes, and we just knew that there was, we had to build up the farm system. We needed some more veteran experience, winning free agents. It precedes me in terms of the vision. This was Ray Davis and John Daniels who put us on this path years before I came here. From a financial standpoint, it's ownership's commitment, continued commitment to allow us to build through free agency while still protecting our farm system. We have not had to trade away any prospects. And, I feel great about our future. I really do. I think we have the right group of guys. Derek, you've lived it. You know what a baseball town this can be. I grew up here as a Ranger fan. I just am so happy and excited for our fans to finally have a team that they can be proud of. And they've waited a while for this, and my expectation is that that will happen this season.
With that being said, too, how much do you put more into the minor league side of the analytics? I know you know, me and you, we've been around where it wasn't as much analytics. You've got kind of the old school approach with Bochy and Maddox that don't really dive as much into it. Are you guys going to get more into the older school or older style of baseball, or are we going to and still have the analytics, or are we still going to be considered an analytic baseball team?
No, I mean, I think there's a balance. I think that any team that is not using analytics is at a competitive disadvantage. I think that that's just, you know, I don't think it's either or. I think it's both. And I think that you have to have elements of traditional baseball, things that have always held true and withstood the test of time. And you have to continue to improve. You have to use information to make better decisions, to give the players better resources to reach their full potential. And so it is. The analytics are never going away. It is a huge part of our organization. It will continue to be. But we also have to have the balance with the traditional methods. And I think that's the beauty of Mike, and I think that's the beauty of Boach, is that they do provide that balance. Boach wants as much information as possible. He wants the R&D team telling him the best lineups and the best matchups, and Mike wants the information in terms of the pitchers, what their strengths are, how to use their stuff. I mean, these guys crave it, and they have adjusted, they have adapted. I would not refer to them as old school, because I think that to be old school means you get passed up to some extent, and I think they have modernized, but they've still maintained the traditional methods that have worked historically, and but are still embracing new ways of getting better and improving and helping the players, and that's why they're here.
Chris Young joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. I've told Mike this story before, and Kevin, when I was a kid, I remember after we got Nolan Ryan, I was out in the stands and it was the seventh inning and I was like, put in Nolan, and my dad had to explain what a starter was and a relief pitcher.
Nolan would do it.
But that was like, as a kid, that memory is like Nolan Ryan was the best pitcher I had ever seen. And now we have Jacob deGrom stepping on the bump for us this year. And I'm not saying expect a perfect game every time, but when he gets out there, you do have this feeling of you can see something special every fifth day.
You know, it's really, really cool that you said that, because you know, there's a piece of nostalgia that I feel as well in terms of what Nolan Ryan meant to me as a kid. He became my favorite Ranger in 1989 when he came here. I was a catcher at the time. He made me want to become a pitcher. Wow. He changed my love of baseball in terms of how I wanted to play the game, what position I wanted to play, and what it meant for me to be a Ranger fan. And, you know, in signing Jacob, I think there are a lot of parallels there. And when you have somebody who is one of the best in the world at what they do, you know that history is possible on any given night. And I'm so happy for our fans to have that experience this year. I know what it meant to me as a kid. Mike, you touched on what it meant to you. And I'm really excited and hopeful that Jacob will provide that to the next generation of Ranger fans.
I just want to see what a 6'11"-foot catcher looks like now, since you're a catcher at a younger age. Like, what do these shin guards look like on a 6'11" guy?
They were legitimately shin guards only, no knee at all.
Yeah, pitchers loved it, yeah.
That is amazing. Yeah. You throw at the guy's chin.
But that's all right. Yeah.
You throw at the guy's chin, you're like, I hit my target.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the things, I know you guys are gearing up for opening day and worried about on the field. I'm kind of curious how much you track or how much you're involved in the conversations about DSG, the Diamond Sports Group, and everything like that. How much does that impact your day-to-day, either having to talk business with folks or monitor that as we go along?
Well, I'm not in the day-to-day. You know, my responsibilities are baseball operations, but there is overlap, and we're one team. We're one front office in terms of the business and the baseball side, and I think we all want the best for our fans. And so, you know, when our fans can't watch us play or don't have access to our games, or we're, you know, in this uncertain period where there may be, you know, some confusion as to what the future looks like regarding our RSN, you know, it does impact us. And I am a spokesperson for the team to a degree, and I certainly want our fans to have every bit of access to our games and to watch our team play, especially when we start winning here. So it does impact me. I'm not involved in the day-to-day, but it is important, and I'm hopeful and optimistic that there will be a good resolution soon on this.
When you look at the lineup right now, the bats that you have, and even the offense that y'all were able to produce last year, is that enough offense to go along with the pitching? And when you made those decisions to add so much pitching, was that looking at going, hey, I think we have enough offense to do it this year?
Yeah, you know, I think we looked at the team last year offensively, and the team did produce. And I think we scored 707 runs, if I'm not mistaken, which was fifth in the American League. And, you know, that may put us middle of the pack this year. I have no idea how it's going to play out. But I did expect that we would get some internal additions that would maybe increase our offense a little bit. And, you know, one, I think the rule change benefits a number of our hitters. I think, secondly, we have Josh Young at third base, who we have expectations to probably give us a little more performance than we got out of third base last year. Left field with Robbie Grossman, Josh Smith out there. The expectation is that will give us produce a little more offense. And then we have Mitch Garber back behind the plate, who missed the majority of last season with an elbow injury. And even when he played, he wasn't himself, given the elbow that was bothering him. So, you know, all of that considered, and I think the other aspect of this is that, you know, we have some good young players who are coming that we think can provide, you know, a positive offensive presence that maybe we've lacked the last couple of years, or that we haven't really been able to tap into. So, you know, these young guys are graduating to the big leagues, combined with the veteran players who are going to be positively impacted with rule change. And then just the Robbie Grossmans and Josh Smith, and then having Josh Young, I am optimistic that our offense is going to be very, very solid. I think we've got a lot of different ways that we can manufacture runs, whether it's power, average, speed. We can play small ball at times. We can, you know, we've got the power in the middle of the lineup. So I like the balance we have, and, you know, but we'll always continue to look to improve. But I am confident in the offensive bunch.
Chris, I love Cole Reagans. We got to see him in spring training while we were there, and obviously he's made the big league club as a relief pitcher. I was wondering, because I know how tough it can be to start as a bullpen guy in a season and possibly have to adjust to being a starter due to possible injuries. I was wondering, with Cole Reagans, is he a guy that you see as being a bullpen piece throughout the season for you? Could he bounce into the rotation when injuries do happen during a season?
Yeah, Mike, I think we'd like to have the flexibility there. I think we'd like to keep his pitch count built up at least to, you know, beyond two innings. I think we, you know, at least three innings plus at times. Now, as you know, there are times where that gets to be challenging during the season. Starters get on a roll, they go deep in games. You know, I've been the long man before, and it's hard to keep the pitch count up. So there are going to have to be ways, creative ways, that we can balance that. But, you know, with he and Dunning both, keeping that pitch count up is going to be important, because we're going to need them in the rotation at some point. There may be somebody else who really emerges as an internal option from AAA at some point. But, you know, those guys, I think just having the flexibility is great to start the season, and we'll evaluate, you know, probably week to week or every couple of weeks as we go here, and where they are and what the needs are.
Talk with Texas Rangers GM Chris Young right here on 105 Through the Fan, as we're about 90 minutes away from first pitch. I know you mentioned it. I was hoping you could expand just a little bit for anybody who missed the article, the unique situation of Kamar going to high A as opposed to double A. You talked about how it had nothing to do with Jack Leiter, which is what I first supposed. Can you walk us through kind of the thought process of putting Kamar Rocker into high A ball to start the season?
Yeah, and really, as I've said, with all of our players, it's not where you start, it's where you finish. And I think that just given, you know, kind of the nature of his path into professional baseball, having to sit out a year, having a shoulder surgery, that we just want to set him up for success and start him in an environment where we can continue to ease him in. We felt Jack was in a different place last year. So they really are two different people. They're kind of independent of one another. You know, I think that we make the best decision we can for each player in terms of setting them up for success. And with Kumar, we felt like this is the best way to go. He's an elite competitor. He had a really good spring. I was excited to see the way he's thrown the ball this spring. And, you know, my anticipation is that he's not there long, but it'll help him get his feet wet in professional baseball, and we'll go from there.
Well, hey, CY, happy opening day, and we are so proud of your Princeton basketball team. Corey knew they'd make it to the Sweet 16.
I did,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I picked them.
So.
Well, I can't tell you how much fun that was. It killed me not to get to Louisville to see them. That was, you know, maybe once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but I was so proud of Princeton hoops. And actually, I think their coach, Mitch Henderson, may be coming to the game on Sunday night. He is a huge baseball fan. He's in town or in Texas for the Final Four. I think he may shoot up here and get to come hang with Boach and the boys for a night. And so if you guys are here, you might get to meet him.
Well, and hopefully when he asks if you pick them on Sunday, you'll be able to tell him yes. That's up to you to figure out. Thank you very much.
Always with my heart.
Thank you very much, good sir. Best of luck not only today, but all throughout the season.
Guys, happy opening day. Have a great year. Thanks for all the support. We'll see you soon.
PCY.
Woo, there you go. Texas Rangers general manager.
I love that guy.
Chris Young.
Him for him. Make sure he knew.
Right
he
here on 105.3 The Fan. But you know what the beauty of opening day is? You know what the beauty of being the home of the Texas Rangers, going to spring training, creating these relationships? Coming up next, Texas Rangers Hall of Famer Ian Kinsler.
I love that we've been doing this the whole
hey,
offseason.
Hey, did you hear that? People
like
are pumped.
That, man. Let's
we'll
go.
Do that.
Yeah!
Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Kinsler sends it to right center field. What do you think? Heading all the way back there. Can he get that triple?
He's got it.
The fourth Ranger to hit for the cycle is Ian Kinsler.
And we will have Ian Kinsler on imminently. In case you've missed some of the happenings of the day in the baseball world as we're live at Globe Life Field for opening day, the Mets have put Justin Verlander on the injured list with a muscle strain. Aaron Judge hit a home run in his very first at bat. Plus, we've had on Chuck Morgan, Matt Hicks, Steve Buschel, Chris Young, and now Ian Kinsler's coming up, and we got Hurtado's Barbecue, and this place has been buzzing all day.
Yeah, man, this is one of the things that we get to do as the Ranger station, for one. But, man, think about this for a second. When Jacob deGrom was signed, who was the first station that had him on?
Well, it was us.
Yeah, when Chris Young became a GM, when Bruce Bochy became the manager, that was us, because we put all that work in. We put all that effort in to be out here. So today, we're out here for the opening day for the Texas Rangers. Yeah. And it's part of the partnership. It's part of it.
Hot
but,
mic.
Man, it is great to be here today.
And right now, joining us, Texas Rangers Hall of Famer Ian Kinsler. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
People are stoked for you already. Oh. Now we've been asking.
They can hear us.
Player.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
gotta
can
like,
hear you.
You gotta like eat this microphone.
There you go.
I can see we're gonna have to mentor
this
you like
great.
We did
this
Derek. We got some work to do. Now we've been asking people who've
Mike
been
Adams
involved
in
the game all day long.
Oh, Mike Adams.
What does
Bye,
opening day mean to you, and what does it mean to the organization?
It means you're in first place, you know, and
that's true.
If you win, then you're still undefeated. So there's a lot of excitement on opening day. I think you spend the whole offseason preparing yourself, the whole spring training preparing yourself, getting together as a team, trying to figure out what your identity is. And it all seems to start today. You know, at the end of the day, when you're done with the game, you get home and you're like, okay, it was one game out of 162. Whether you win or lose, it's not going to make or break the season, but there's something special about opening day where you kind of do feel like there's a correlation there between opening day and how the season's going to go. Statistically, probably not, but the feel of it is always grand.
How much of an adjustment did you have to make going from being a player to now, you know, you're retired, and then you went to coaching, and then now you're working in the front office kind of thing? So how long did it take you to make that adjustment from after the game, after retiring?
It takes a while. You know, I think everybody's different, but you're so used to having your schedule given to you on a daily basis. You know exactly what you're so regimented. You know exactly what you're supposed to be doing at what time of the day. You know where you're supposed to be. Whether you're doing off-season workouts, you have your lunches scheduled, your breakfast scheduled. You know you have everything scheduled. And then when you stop playing, it's just like I guess I'll go play golf. I don't know. So you try to figure that out, but
or like karate with Michael Young.
Yeah, you go get your black belt. You know? do weird things, but I think everybody's different, but you know it takes a little time to feel comfortable with not competing at a high level like that.
Ian Kinsler joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Now I don't know if what we saw is true, but my father-in-law and I were watching a game, and you were playing against the Angels. And you travel to go get a pop fly in foul territory. You catch the ball and you look down, and there's like three Angels fans sitting there, and they hold their hands out like, I want the ball. And you just kind of turned around and ran off. And I was like, he's so competitive. He won't even give him a foul ball. I love this guy. Is that like, do you happen to remember this? Or
yeah,
were you like that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Did you see that smile on his face?
Yeah,
he remembers.
Awesome.
He's like, those kids weren't getting that ball.
No, I mean, in today's day and age with social media, I probably got smashed, but. You know, it was more of a joking kind of, you're wearing Angel stuff. You're not getting this.
I like that.
I'll go find the kid with the Rangers hat on and make his day.
What's your thoughts on the pitch clock and the bigger bases? Do you think that plays an advantage? As a guy that could have stolen a lot of bases, the guy you're pretty quick in the box.
You'd have to play on the infield again as a second baseman.
Oh yeah,
yep, yeah. I don't know. When I first heard about all these rules, it seemed a little gimmicky to me. It was my first initial reaction, but I always seem to react that way when it's, you know, replay with the umpires. My first reaction was like, man, this is gimmicky. This isn't the NFL, stuff like that. Those are where my thoughts go right away. But after you see it for a little while, I think that this is really going to improve the game this year. I think the pitch clock's going to improve the game. I don't get the whole big base thing. They're saying injury prone or injuries
just
that are happening.
Just a great safety, yeah.
I don't remember that many injuries happening at first base. Maybe a couple a year.
They don't make them like they used to.
I guess. I don't know.
What about pickoffs,
but
too?
As far as pickoffs and stealing bases, I think it's going to bring the stolen base back into the game. And I think the games are going to be faster paced. I think there's going to be more offense. And I think it's going to be a better product, really.
You are a very aggressive base runner. If a guy had picked, let's just say it's a long at bat, 3-2 count, and he's already picked twice, would you ever try to deke a steal as the pitcher's coming set just to see if you could get a pick? Because if you got back to first, it was automatic to second. So I'm wondering how you might, be an aggressive base runner, want to play with the pitcher to try to get those first two picks early in a count.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you, as a base runner now, you got to constantly be deking a stolen base. So they don't know if you're going or if you're just deking. So if you're constantly playing with their head, trying to see where they're at, they don't know if you're just standing there or if you're stealing or what's going on. But I think I'd also trip over my feet with excitement. Like, I don't know, did you see Ronald Acuna the other day? He got two picks, and he was safe on both of them, so he knew the guy wasn't going to pick off as a lefty. The guy picked up his foot, and he took off and fell on his feet. He was so excited, he just, like, wiped out. You know, it just opens up the game, it seems like. And, first and second, let's say a guy gets picked off at second base, the pitcher now only has two more opportunities to get you at first. So that open, you know, it's just there's so many different rules that I think it's going to be a little I think there's going to be some rough patches to start the season that they're going to have to get through. But overall, I think it's going to be good.
What's your anticipation of what's a realistic anticipation for this team? Because we've bounced back between, hey, let's shoot for 500. Hey, that's kind of Vegas is thinking 84 wins. But then we get a lot of fans that are like, if you don't make the playoffs, this season's a failure.
162-0.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like Ian said, if you don't win today, you can't do that. What do you think are realistic expectations for where this team can finish?
Well, my feelings are coming out of spring training, you always felt like if you didn't make the playoffs, it was a failure. Regardless of what the experts on the outside were saying or Vegas or whatever, you felt like the guys that you had in that clubhouse were capable of winning and going to the playoffs. That's always the feeling. But with this club, I think the offense gets overlooked a little bit because of the acquisitions they made on the mound. The pitching staff obviously has potential to be dominant if they can stay healthy, but the offense gets a little overlooked.
With Garcia and Lowe, I feel like they do not get the respect they deserve.
Yeah, I really feel like they're going to be able to create a lot of runs. I think they were fifth in the league in runs last year. You know, so that, and I didn't feel like Seager or Semien really got going until the All-Star break. And you get a normal season from these two guys, a productive, you know, well-rounded season from those two guys. And then Josh Jung has really, really impressed me with his bat. Defensively, he's really improved. I just think that the offense is getting overlooked a little bit.
Whatever you say improved, because we've heard that from Chris Young as well. Can you give us a breakdown of, like, what you see that lets you know, hey, that looks better?
I mean, his feet are just moving a lot better. He's positioning himself in better places when the ball's coming to him, whether that he's making a throw to first or turning a double play. His positioning's just better. I think it's come with experience and comfort. The more repetition you get, the more that you work with the coaches, the more you dedicate yourself to that, the better you get. I mean, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Not everybody's that way, but that's the idea, and he's definitely improved.
Well, you got to do, which a lot of people don't know maybe, is you got to participate, obviously, in WBC, and then also you got to coach with Team Israel. Have you ever thought about coaching now that you're, you know, I know you're working with the Rangers, but to help out the young guys going forward, giving them more tips to help them to get to this level?
Yeah, I think that'll be part of what I'm doing, and being AA a little bit and helping those guys and whether it's defensively or base running, whatever I see is trying to help the organization as a whole. So that could be, you know, A ball, double A, triple A, and these guys in the big leagues. I think the big leagues is a little bit different because they have so many coaches here, and they're constantly being evaluated and trying to figure out a way to get better day in and day out. So, you know, as in my position, it's not going to be probably as relevant here, but helping CY with, you know, roster construction or trades or, I mean, even amateur draft, whatever, you know, I'm really game for anything.
I know this is a question for both of you guys, Ian and Derek. Give me kind of your best memory of each other. You guys got to play a lot of baseball together. We're on two World Series teams.
And your worst.
Does a Derek Holland memory come up or an Ian Kinsler memory come up for you as you guys played so many games?
If you guys want to share your worst memory of each other, too.
I was going to say, well, it's more, for me, it was like getting to face him for the first time after obviously playing with him. I remember the first time I got up there, I kind of like lost it a little bit. I lost my composure because it's, you know, I play with him. He's somebody I've looked up to. He's helped me out a lot. And it's like, oh, crap, I got to face him. And then all I kept thinking is, just throw it inside because he's going to pull it so far foul. And sure enough, I left a grapefruit for him, and he got a home run. But I did get to punch his
first
ticket.
First at bat?
His first at bat in San Diego.
Wow. Yeah.
I got him back, though.
He got me back. But he's got to strike me out three more times to really even the scales, and I'm not playing anymore. So
we'll set some up.
You're only as good as your last one.
Backyard stuff.
No, for me, honestly, there's a lot of memories that I have playing with Derek. But the one that stands out the most for me is that World Series start that he had at the Bold Ballpark. It was just that was the pinnacle of Derek Holland. Like he was on point that game from the first pitch to the time that Wash came out and got him. He dominated the game, and it was just so cool to see him come from a young age, come through the organization, come up, and then get to that point where we're all in a World Series game together, and then then watch him, you know, from second base just dominate the game. That was, for me, probably the highlight of his career, really. And for me, like, I'll remember that forever.
This is a two-parter, but on the field, turning a double play. And I don't know how much you've like thought about how that feeling of turning a perfect double play. Did you like being the guy that flipped, or did you like being the guy that was turning and throwing?
Well, at second base, you're involved in pretty much, you know, 80% of double plays,
all
double plays. So I just loved it. I mean, there's something about getting two that just brings excitement. It relaxes your pitcher. There's just so many things that it does. It infuriates the other team.
Yeah.
You know, they're pissed. You're happy. And it's just kind of it's definitely a swing in the game. So I love turning double plays, whether it was me starting it or finishing it. And any time there was a spectacular play on the front end, I mean, those are the sweetest.
Man, we love that you came on with us. Appreciate
really
it.
Appreciate
We're
it.
All pumped for opening day. I can already tell Derek wants to continue this conversation off air, which is always a good sign. There you go. Texas Rangers Hall of Famer Ian Kinsler right here in your home of the Texas Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, who will be the Rangers MVP in 2023? We'll discuss that as we get closer and closer to opening day right here on 105.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series.
Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.